We're going to read this morning from John's Gospel, from John chapter 9. Now, I did put down the first 11 verses, but really, that whole chapter is what we'll be looking at today. So, what we might do is just read through the part of that chapter. So, first of all, we'll be reading I will read the whole chapter. It's probably easier. So, John chapter 9. And remember, just earlier in chapter 8, as we heard at the beginning of our service, Jesus has been talking about, or making the claim, that he is the light of the world. And following on from that, there's this encounter that Jesus has with the man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, nor does he keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one who you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What, are we blind too? Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Amen. May God indeed open our eyes that we might see and that we might hear his voice, and that he might indeed be able to work in our lives, and that we might indeed be drawn to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come, let's just ask God's blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your living word. Father, how indeed you have revealed yourself, how you have broken into our world, into history. And Lord, that in your Son, Jesus Christ, that he has revealed you to us, that in Christ, that our relationship with you might be renewed, made new. And that we might indeed be your children, part of your heavenly family. Father, we thank you that indeed these claims of Jesus reveal not just the glory and the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, but also that he reveals your glory to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that not just today, but through this series, that we might be challenged, that we might be drawn closer to you. So Lord, speak to us through your word. For we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. You know, there, as I said to the young people from Calva, that so often we take our eyesight for granted, don't we? And we think that, well, our eyesight is always there. We don't think about it. But you know, when you're challenged, when you lose your eyesight, and some of you here have lost some of your eyesight, we realize just how precious it is, how much it enables us to see things clearly. You know, in a poll, people have said that of the five senses, Sight is the most important to us.
It's the one thing that people say most terrify them.
The thought of losing their eyesight, not being able to see. Yet, as I said, so often we take it for granted. In this passage that we read from John chapter 9, we read of the healing of this man born blind. And this miracle highlights the scriptural truth and this deeper truth that, yes, physical blindness can be devastating. It can take away so many things from our lives. But the other thing about this passage, this blind man's healing, is it reveals to us the dangers of spiritual blindness, of not being able to see or to know God. Earlier in chapter 8, the Pharisees who had been questioning Jesus, who was this Jesus? Jesus responds by making the claim. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, chapter 9 follows on from this claim and really unpacks what Jesus is talking about, the claim that he's making. In this healing of the blind man, it's not just a story of being physically and spiritually restored, but it's also about this blind man being restored in his relationship with God. We see the Saviour being revealed. And Jesus himself said that he reveals the Father, the glory of the Father. Through chapter 8, there's the question of who Jesus really is, as we just mentioned. And this, as they encounter this blind man from birth, so Jesus' disciples ask Jesus, well, who sinned? We've got to understand that in Jesus' time, there was the thought that, well, misfortune equals or sin, that if you sin against God, then you'll be punished, there'll be misfortune. And they had the understanding that, well, this man was born blind, so who sinned? Who caused it? Who was the... What was it that caused this man to be blind? Was it his parents' sin? Or was it his sin? The man's sin? In Jesus' time, there were some Pharisees, some rabbis, who actually argued that a person could commit sin while even in the womb. Prenatal sin, they call it. They actually believed a man could sin before birth. So, this man born blind, his life was judged to be a result of sin. And you know, he was written off, again, the time of Jesus, that people who were handicapped in any way
were often rejected by their families, were often rejected by society. That they were seen as being people who were judged by God, who were punished by God. And that's the reason that this blind man was a beggar. He was alienated. Here in chapter 9, we see that these Pharisees, who were experts in the Old Testament, when they questioned who it was that healed this man, they were actually searching for an answer. And through this passage, we see that Jesus actually fulfills the promise of the Old Testament, that it pointed to the fact of Jesus' claim that he was not only the light of the world, but he was the Messiah, the one whom God had sent to bring light into the world. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18, it talks about, in that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll in the days of the Messiah, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Isaiah 35, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Isaiah 42, that the Messiah was going to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. The Old Testament boldly and quite clearly pronounced that it was only God who could open the eyes of the blind. It was only God's anointed one, chosen one, the Messiah, who would bring in this era where people's eyes would be opened. And Isaiah 42:7 makes that point, that it is the Messiah who would open the eyes of the blind. When Jesus began his ministry in Nazareth, it's significant that the first scripture that Jesus referred to was Luke chapter 4:18. It's where he quotes from the scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." He closed the book and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus boldly claimed to be not just the light of the world, but the saviour of the world. That he would open people's eyes, that they would see, but also that they would encounter the living God. That in him he would reveal his Father. So Jesus' answer to that question that the Pharisees and the people round about the blind man were asking, who is this man that's healed you? And the question of, well, why were you blind in the beginning? Jesus answers that question, or these questions. And he makes a point that this man was blind not because of his sin, not because of his parents' sin. But verse 3, it says, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. You know, how wonderful and powerful that is. And it's also something that is an encouragement to us. Often we question why things happen. We often question, well, is it right? Is it just? Is it a punishment? Why has this bad thing happened? Jesus makes a point that God is in control. Sometimes bad things do happen. But in these bad things, God can actually be glorified. People can see God and the glory of God through these misfortunes or these problems. But we have that certainty that God is in control. We have this certainty that whilst we may struggle, and for this blind man, life wasn't easy. He had been rejected by possibly his parents. He'd been rejected by his society. He'd been rejected by the religious authorities. He was seen as being rejected by God. But the reality was, for this blind man, Jesus accepted him. You know, the purpose of Jesus coming into the world wasn't just to die on the cross for our sin and to be raised again. If that was true, then the incarnation and the birth of Jesus wouldn't have been necessary, in a sense. However, the whole life of Jesus, his teaching, his compassion, his work, are central, because through every aspect of Jesus' life, he demonstrated that he was God incarnate. That he was completing, and Jesus kept referring back to the truth, that he was completing the work that his Father had given him to do. He was revealing the Father and the Father's love to us. In John 17, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus prays, he says, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that you, the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Jesus not only makes a claim to be the light of the world, Jesus is a Saviour in whom the Father is revealed. It's only as we get to know, it's only as we realise who Jesus is, that we get to know the Father, who the Father is, the Father's love for us. And you know, it's a great inspiration, because even though we might be rejected, or even though we might have limitations in our lives, even though people might put us down and say that, well, we're useless or meaningless, or that we're not the people that they want, the fact is that Jesus came to this world for us. That Jesus revealed the Father. And it is in trusting in Jesus that we can find that faith and that certainty. That we can find the light to actually understand. Because a light challenges blindness. because it gives God the glory. You know, when Jesus passed by this blind man, this blind man's life changed, not just in physical sight, but in his eternal life, in that he came to see who God was. He came to see that in Jesus that he could have salvation. Jesus first healed them of the blindness. But after that, Jesus began to lead him through a series of events. It brought him face to face with the reality of who Jesus is. You know, being able to see with our physical eyes is never enough. We must come to a place where we see the spiritual truths, where we're brought to a point that in our lives that we are actually challenged. And that's what Jesus did here. Notice the progression for this man, this blind man. That in this progression, the light began to dawn on him. When people asked this man, well, who healed him? Well, first of all, in verse 11, he talks about that, well, it was just a man who was called Jesus. He knew nothing else about this man, even though Jesus had healed him. He still couldn't see who Jesus really was. You know, this is the point that many in our society, even maybe people here, are in their lives. They may call themselves Christians. They may say that they know about Jesus. But just knowing about Jesus, or being able to call on his name and call yourself a Christian, is not enough to save you. Because if we don't know him any better than that, then we really don't know him at all. But we see this progression, as I said. When the Pharisees heard of the miracle, they called the blind man to them, and they wanted to find out, who was this Jesus? This was the central question in these couple of chapters. Chapter 8 and chapter 9. For some of the Pharisees, they were upset that, well, Jesus had done the miracle on the Sabbath day. And their conclusion was, well, if Jesus had done this on the Sabbath day, then Jesus was obviously a sinner. But they asked the man directly, this blind man. And this blind man was actually quite brave, quite courageous in actually giving this response to these religious leaders. Because he says, well, Jesus was a prophet, that Jesus should be listened to. This man had listened to Jesus, and he had obeyed Jesus, and he was healed. And he concludes that Jesus is worthy of being listened to. But still, he wasn't at that point of faith. And, you know, there are many people who are quite like that blind man, who perhaps see Jesus as being, well, he's a good man, he's a good teacher, he's maybe even a prophet. But that isn't believing in Jesus as Jesus claims. That's not believing in him as the Saviour, the light of the world. But through this series of questions, the Pharisees, the blind man arrives at the conclusion. It's actually the Pharisees who help him to the point of seeing. He concludes that Jesus is not just a prophet, he's not just a man of God, but he should be followed. And then actually, the Pharisees call this blind man one of Jesus' disciples. But again, that's still not the end of the story, because this blind man still doesn't truly understand who Jesus is. And finally, he comes to the point when Jesus actually challenges him, because he sees that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus should be believed. Jesus reveals to him his true identity. Jesus challenges him to believe in the Son of God, the Son of Man. Verse 36, this blind man still isn't at the point of believing. He says, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." It's when Jesus boldly pronounces and states, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you now." Jesus confronts this blind man. This blind man in his need, in his spiritual darkness. Jesus confronts him, and this blind man is brought to the point of having to make a decision, where he actually not only sees the truth in what Jesus was saying, but he actually responds to that. Verse 38, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. He not only said it, but he actually practiced it. He worshipped Jesus. That's a very significant thing, because in doing so, especially with the Pharisees being sort of around, that this blind man was risking being not only rejected by the Pharisees put out of the synagogue, but he could actually have been charged with blasphemy. He was risking his life. Yet for him, this encounter with Jesus changed him. It made him see in a different way. You know, so often people are rejected by those within the religious circles. John Chrysostom, who was one of the early church leaders in the early history of the church, he commented on this. He said, "The Jews cast this blind beggar out of the temple, and the Lord of the temple found him." How true and how powerful that is, that in his utter need, not just for physical healing, but also spiritual healing, Jesus confronts him. Jesus reveals to him who he is. This man, he wasn't a theologian, but he knew what happened to him personally. And he knew that Jesus' claim gave him hope. And that's what so many people in our world today are hungering and longing after, especially as we face uncertainties in life. The uncertainty of our present situation. They need to have certainty and hope. And it's only in Jesus that they find that. The Apostle Paul says that for him, that if the truth of who Jesus is, if the truth of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection aren't true, if we only for this life have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. 1 Corinthians 15. But the truth is that our belief in our knowledge of who Jesus is reveals to us something much more powerful. Just like to conclude, let's get these two. Just conclude with this story about Robert Louis Stevenson. I'm sure that you all have heard of Robert Louis Stevenson, the author. And as a child, he was intrigued by the lamplighter, a person who would go around the streets and light the oil lamps in Edinburgh, in Scotland. And Robert Louis Stevenson was fascinated by them. And one night his parents heard him exclaim, "Look, look, there is a man out there punching holes in the darkness." You know, with one childish statement of wonder, Robert Louis Stevenson did really sum up the truth of Jesus, that Jesus, as the light of the world, is the one who's punching holes in the darkness that is surrounding us. That when we look to the Lord Jesus, we can see the hope and certainty that we need in life. What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? He is the one who brings not just spiritual sight, being able to see the reality of life, of God, of our relationship with God, but to actually bring us into that relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. Today, I'd like to leave you with a challenge. Where are you on that journey of seeing who Jesus is? Are you just right there at the start where we think, well, Jesus is just a man? He's just someone that we've heard about. Or is our view, well, Jesus is a good teacher, a prophet, a man of God? Or do we truly know Jesus as the Son of God, as the light of the world? Pray that for each one of us, that we might indeed know Jesus, know the claims of Jesus, know that in him we can find certainty. Amen.